Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess we're live. There we go. Mr. Palmer, are you on? Hello. Beavis. Butthead. Something along those lines. I have no idea where our partner in crime is. Hopefully he'll be calling in the next couple of minutes. Seth and Sean Sports Radio. My wife has offered to sing for us. Believe me when I say you would know. she was dead serious. We all wanted to hear her sing, but my wife has many talents, none of which I will be discussing on our show. However, singing is not one of them. She actually thinks that the Tropicana song, the Good Morning song, is from the Tropicana commercial. It's not. For those of you who actually are familiar with it, Seth and Sean Sports Radio, Seth Kame and Sean Palmer, backsportspage.com, on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know where my partner in crime is. He may still be recovering from his repressed anger about me accidentally leaving the car, killing his car battery. Mr. Palmer.
Yeah, I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So I guess there was some miscommunication on the telecommunications network here at the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Network.
Okay, Carly, there is no need for your singing. She was going to start singing because she thought I would be lonely. But as we know, I can talk about this stuff for hours and hours and hours. So I was about to say there.
I ain't got nobody. Nobody.
Yes. Cares for me, nobody. Yeah, this has been an eventful first minute and a half of our show. Well, that's because next week is our big end of year, 2 hour, 3 hour, 5 hour, whatever the hell we decide to make it, year in review, and it's been a blast. So I guess we have to start off with OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. Not in his glory yesterday against Carolina, against Josh Norman, and what a hideous performance as an individual. I don't really know how to explain what I watched yesterday. That wasn't football. That wasn't even 1950s dirty old school football. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it really wasn't what you would determine as excellent football by any stretch. He was totally taken out of his game by Josh Norman. More than anything, you can say that was a textbook way of a defender to get into somebody's head. From the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it was the game itself. It was a fascinating game. I mean, the game was over, and Carolina pretty much put on the break, and the Giants somehow played their way back into it in typical Giants fashion, and then would lose at the buzzer, 38-35. You know, I had someone apologize, telling me they were sorry, yesterday. But there's nothing to be sorry for. I have sat through four Super Bowls. There are seasons where you just have to sit back and laugh. Between Dallas and New Orleans and New England and now this. It's just not the Giants season. The one thing I do question is, all along Tom Coughlin has been known as this great, as this tough old school guy, someone who holds to his, the way he does business, the way he handles, he's an old school guy. He did not handle this team like an old school guy. He handled this team like a guy desperate to keep his job.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, the way that he handled the Odell Beckham situation yesterday. I mean, Carl Banks was calling for him to pull him. I think everybody that watched the game was calling for him to pull him. And of course, and rightfully or wrongfully, you have to be angry, is what I'm looking for here. But more to the point of, you would have been happy had he not caught that touchdown pass in the end zone, right? I mean, he brought them back. He did everything that look, that 40-yard run that he had plus the touchdown shows exactly what kind of talent he is, no question about it. But at the end of the day, really, yes, he has talent, but the off-the-field, and it's not even off-the-field, the extracurriculars, I think, is a better way of saying it. Man, that he was suspended one game today. I'm not really sure that was enough.
I'll tell you something. I'm not either. I think he should be suspended for 2 to 3 games. His acting was ridiculous. I thought it was over the top. It was borderline. How he was not objected, I find incomprehensible. You know, I know in theory why Coughlin didn't pull him. And he can say anything he wants. The reality is he needs to make the playoffs to keep his job. And they can't make the playoffs without their best player. So it was, if they suspended him for the regular season, the rest of the season, I would not bat an eye, just because the rest of the season is 2 games. I don't, and actually, as a Giants fan, I hope he doesn't appeal. I'm sure he will, but he won't win. And I'd rather, and he deserves this. You know, this isn't even as a Giants fan, just saying, hoping he comes back. He should be suspended. His performance was disgraceful.
Well, you have to hope, Seth, as a Giants fan, that he learns from it, right? I mean, he is only 24 years old. And that's no excuse. Look, the guy's been playing football forever, for as long as probably he can remember, and that's certainly no excuse for what he did. But he is a young player in the league. He is an undeniable talent. I mean, it kind of reminds you a little bit of what Randy Moss did when he was in Minnesota. I mean, immaturity. More immaturity than you could possibly need. And, you know, you look at the way that Randy Moss matured, and he matured under the tutelage of Chris Carter. Now, is there a guy, and not to say that this is the responsibility of a Victor Cruz, but that's what teammates are for, right? I mean, Victor Cruz handles himself with class, always has handled himself with class. And is this a repercussion or result of him being not only the best player on the team, but nobody else on the team to guide him a little bit?
There's always been the argument about how much Chris Carter really helped and how much of it was just Chris Carter saying how much Chris Carter helps. I mean, he was a huge head case. Look, he was a head case in Oakland. He really came when he fell under the, as enormously talented as he was, when he fell under the, the went to New England, and you have the Kraft, Belichick, Brady triumvirate, where there is nobody else. And that seems to be, you never heard of any, I don't remember there being too many issues when he was in New England.
But there were issues when he left, right? I mean, he got traded. So it wasn't like when the going was good, he was on his best behavior. And maybe you can make the case that, and I know that people on the radio, certain talk show hosts today were making the case that, Odell Beckham has never been on a winning team. So is it all the losing that is just taking its toll? I mean, he is by far the best player on that team. And
wait, he's been in the pros for 2 years.
Look,
who the hell is he? He's not a 12-year veteran that's doing this. That's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm not saying that's my case. I am saying that has been stated by a couple of people recently, that may be the concept. Look, he is an immature brat. I think that is the best way to say it. And I could go further than that if I really wanted to. But a brat is probably as good as I get right now. And
Diva also may work.
What?
Diva may work.
Yeah, I think he's a pain in the ass. But you know what? The best players, Tom Brady aside, generally have that concept of being a little bit of a head case, a little bit of an ego trip, a little bit of pain in the ass. And you live with it to the extent that he keeps it in-house. And this was well beyond in-house. And like I said before at the beginning of what I was saying, you just hope that he learns from this suspension. And he, look, the other times, he's been fined 3 times for unnecessary roughness before, $10,000 being the most. And you just hope that this game check is a little bit of more than that and more that he has to sit down. And, that's the end of it. I mean, this should not be taking front center stage. And that, I think, is the sad part about this week, that there were so many great performances, both in that game and outside of that game in the NFL. You and I took a great joy in one of them. And this is what we're talking about, is in the week that the movie The Concussion is coming out, where the NFL is so much aware of what's going on as far as head injuries and other injuries to the brain, CTE and whatnot, all we're talking about on a Monday where there were so many great performances is a guy that stupidly, an immature act, launches himself, an offensive player launches himself at the defensive player. And I, you know what, we've given 12 minutes to this already, 11 minutes. I think it's enough. I think we should talk about the good things that happened this weekend, especially in the NFL, like the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Station fantasy team making the Super Bowl again. And I will call it the Jay Cutler disease.
Well, there is, yeah. Well, I think that's a fair way to put it. Yep, we are back in the Super Bowl. We don't know who we play yet. The other game is in doubt. Although sadly for our opponent, he would have beaten either of the other teams this week. We did have some fear. I'm not gonna. Or I did. Sean was a little bit more confident. But when you're playing against Cam Newton and Julio Jones, who combined for 85 points, it's not exactly
until
we had the pleasure of watching Pittsburgh and Denver. Ryan Shazier.
For those that have not tuned in, who have not been every week listeners of our team, of our show, Seth and I take great pride in the fact that we have the Steelers offense. We have always had the Steelers offense. The only player that we don't have on the Steelers offense is Ben Roethlisberger. So we have saddled our team to wherever the Steelers offense goes, we generally go as well. We have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. We have kept them now for 2 years, and we will likely keep both of them again. We had D'Angelo Williams. We had D'Angelo, even at like 49, it's still a great buy for Antonio Brown. I will purport to keeping him. And we had D'Angelo Williams for the first 2 weeks of the season, in which we picked him up for $11. Actually, we picked him up for like $4. We had 11 budgeted, but we picked him up for $4. He had 64 points in the first 2 games, and then Le'Veon Bell comes back, so we drop him. 9 weeks later, Le'Veon Bell gets hurt, and we pay $81 to go get D'Angelo Williams again. And we are in the Super Bowl because of him, Antonio Brown, and my man crush, Ryan Shazier.
He is your man crush. And some props to Emmanuel Sanders, who also helped us out. So we are 7 points away from being the Carolina Panthers. So we will go in as a pretty big favorite, but we were a pretty big favorite last year. And the reason we call this the Jay Cutler disease is because last year, as some of you remember, for those of you who listen, we were in the Super Bowl with Jay Cutler when Mark Trestman decided to bench him in Week 16. Jimmy Clausen gave us 0 points. We lost by 5, and the rest is history. But it does kind of bring up an interesting point back to Carolina.
No. We have to explain why it's a Jay Cutler disease this year. Because our opponent this week had both Kirk Cousins and Teddy Bridgewater on the bench, who both scored, I believe, over 35 points.
Yes.
And the guy that he had playing was Jay Cutler. So while he probably would not have won the game, thanks to Antonio Brown, our keeper, he would have made it a whole lot closer, and he would have put a far bigger scare into us, especially Seth, who I was very confident. Give me some credit here. I was very confident about 4 o'clock that we were going to win this game. I had no doubts. And we won by, I think, 25 or 30. I mean, when we say we have smoked this league, we have smoked this league. But
what I've enjoyed looking, I actually took a look back last week. I didn't mention this. To see our point, we've ended up seeing here. We would have been the high if we were paid on weekly for high points weekly. We would have won 7 weeks. Think about that.
Here's my
ridiculous
question: has any other team scored 200 in a week? Because I think we've done it 4 times.
I don't know, but I mean we're sounding overly confident, and we shouldn't be.
No, because it's 1 week in the playoffs in fantasy, and we're done. And
exactly.
But Pittsburgh does play Baltimore next week, so
yeah,
I'm kind of confident that the offense is going to keep flowing.
But I guess going back to I want to go back to Carolina for a second.
Okay, please.
Carolina is now 14-0 and will be heavily favored to win their last 2 games.
Yep.
Carolina is barely going to be the favorite in the NFC, in the NFC.
Yep.
If they win out, do we really put this 19-0 team as one of the greatest teams of all time?
Right.
And
win
you have
out
to
meaning
start
winning the
Super win the
Bowl?
Super Bowl. Win the Super
oh,
Bowl.
Absolutely. They're one of the greatest teams of all time. No question.
Does anyone think they're a great team?
Well, Seth, hold on a second. Let's go back, okay? Please. Okay, they're not the Bears. The Bears lost 1 game, right? They lost against the Dolphins. They're probably not the Patriots who went 18-1 and lost the Super Bowl. Okay. Let's go back to the only perfect team in NFL history, which is the no-name defense of the 72 Dolphins. Were they a great team?
I don't think they were.
Right. So they are a very good team. Would Carolina be a very good team?
Yeah, I mean, Miami, you know, we actually have a caller, so we'll bring him in on a second. Oh. Miami, I believe, only beat one over 500 team. I'm not sure Carolina's played too many other teams above over that.
But what I'm saying is we still recognize them as one of the greatest teams ever because they went undefeated. So here's the same. Anyway, let's go to the caller.
Well, you're on with Seth and Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I think this is my Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You remember
recognize
that.
So you like the food that we're serving tonight. You're kind of liking this part.
I came across it and I wanted to call in before my Knicks get on TV. So a couple things. One, it's an interesting topic. I wanted to get to my Steelers, but first and foremost, you know, the question you talked about the Carolina Panthers, if they go 19-0, I would say yes, you'd have to consider them one of the greatest teams of all time, but here's why. I think you would have to because I think the type of games they would have to win in the playoffs in order to win the Super Bowl, we may not have even seen the best of the team. If they get those type of wins, I think they're going to have to get, like, I'm talking about being behind maybe to the Cardinals or to the Seahawks and having to come back again in the playoffs in a pressure situation and then go to the Super Bowl and beat a really good AFC team. I think if they had to go ahead and do that in a playoff setting and go undefeated, I think you could say then they're one of the best teams ever. What do you guys think?
I would probably agree with you if they get those games. Remember, the playoffs are a different
breed, right? If they get
those games,
right.
If they get those games, and you know what? They may not face either Seattle or the Cardinals. And the Cardinals lost Tyrann Mathieu today. So, he's out for the year. He tore his ACL. But it's possible for them not to play either one of those teams.
But really unlikely. I mean, you look at it, Seattle's is the 5 seed, most likely. I don't see how they'd be anything but. They're going to play, it looks like, a Washington team, who, although Washington plays very well at home, I have a lot of trouble seeing Kirk Cousins tearing apart the Seattle defense the way he tears about Buddy Ryan's defense last week.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But then Seattle faces Arizona, and then you have to face one of them. Okay.
Yeah, you got to face one of the two. So,
okay.
And right
fair.
Now, I think we all concede that the three teams, and it's an interesting point that you brought up, that you know the three teams in the NFC are heads and shoulders, I believe, above everybody else. I don't think there's much argument about that right now.
Yeah.
With Seattle, Arizona, and
well, do
and
you
of course,
mean?
Maryland.
But are you saying just in terms of heads and shoulders above everyone in the NFL?
No, the NFC.
Right. In the NFC. Well, you know what? To that point, this brings in again before I get to the Steelers. This brings another thing. You know, as uneven as the Packers have been, can you count out Aaron Rodgers as great as he is at the quarterback position? That's the most important position on the field. Can you count him out?
You can count
this
him out
year,
if you got Eddie Lacy and James Starks running for 14 yards.
And you have Randall Cobb, who's barely playing like a starting wideout right now. Devontae Adams would probably not be on a roster on half the team in the league. He's been so
good
bad.
Good point.
That team, so, you know, it's funny. Everyone loves Green Bay. Green Bay has not looked good really for more than two or three games this season. Aaron Rodgers
and they won on a Hail Mary. They won on a Hail Mary, right, against Detroit,
yeah,
which they certainly should have lost. They have played awful in numerous games. You're right, Randall Cobb. I mean, granted, I haven't watched every Green Bay game, but I certainly know their fantasy stats. I mean, I'm in like 12 leagues, but so I certainly know their fantasy stats. So Randall Cobb had 4 points yesterday. Devontae Adams had 2. Eddie Lacy and James Starks combined for 7. They combined for 7. That's not going to get it done in the playoffs.
Plus,
I don't care if you're in the Lambeau Mystique or not.
Their offensive line has been mediocre as well. Sorry,
mediocre,
please.
Yeah. And Randall Cobb has just been, I mean, that has to be, from behind the scenes, that has to be so disappointing to that front office. I mean, you now know that guy cannot be a number one. So you have to have, and if Jordy Nelson's not back fully healthy, you got to go out and get another guy who can be the guy because it's not him.
Absolutely. Well, the question is, at that point, you realize how valuable Jordy Nelson is,
right?
Randall
absolutely.
Cobb is an underneath receiver that's 5'10" and comes out of the backfield 4 or 5 times a game. He wasn't billed as a number one when he was coming out. He was a brittle guy that played half his college in the backfield. So the goal to Green Bay was to have like 3 number 2s and let's play everybody at once. Well, Devontae Adams hasn't done anything. Jordan Nelson ripped up his knee, much to the chagrin of the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Fantasy team. And then Randall Cobb is still a number two, but without a number one and a number three, a number two becomes a number five. That's just the way it is. But let's get to your Steelers, because I don't want to keep you from your beloved Knicks, who I don't know how anybody loves them anymore. Go ahead.
Hey, I've been a diehard Knicks since the early 90s. I can't quit.
Join the club, but that doesn't mean that they're beloved anymore. That just means
I don't think you may be
them.
One of six people who use the word beloved in the Knicks in the same sentence.
Well, hey,
please,
I'm based in Brooklyn, so you know I gotta love them.
Look,
fair
that
enough.
Loves the Utah Jazz this year, but that doesn't mean that they're beloved. So,
the Utah
we
Jazz.
We pick a new team every year that Seth, quote, loves. But anyway,
yeah, well,
your Steelers, because after yesterday's demolishing, and I say demolishing, of the Broncos in the second half, you have every right to come on and gloat, especially since
well,
you talked
about
wait 3 weeks ago.
I got one question, though. Can anyone explain the Ben Roethlisberger pass with 2 minutes to go?
I can explain that because Ben has done he did the same thing against Cincinnati early in the year. And then against Cincinnati last week, he tried to force one in there. He tried to do the same thing on a deep pass. It just here's my explanation, and it kind of goes into my comment. Ben Roethlisberger, to me, and you guys may disagree, and I may have brought this up before, is easy top three quarterback in the league. And I would make an argument, and I have in the past, that he's top two. I would take him over Aaron Rodgers as a complete player, complete quarterback. This guy plays at a level where I think what the thing that hurts him is he just tries to force throws. Like, I'm just so good, I'm going to force it. I can get it in there. And he ends up making those type of mistakes because he's just trying to force balls in that he just feels I can get that ball in there. And that's why he does that, like, early against Cincinnati and all that. Because he's that good.
Two things here. First of all, I'll go to Seth's point about being a great quarterback when you have great talent, because he has always had great talent. That's number one. His offensive line has always been the best of his talent. So that's number one. Number two, I think he saw a 19-year-old blonde in the front row and just got lost. And he was hey, I'll just throw it over there.
No. We're going there.
Look, if it was Rodgers, I would say Olivia Munn was in the stands. This isn't anything new. He's married to a blonde. He saw another blonde.
Well, let me say this, too, about Ben. I think the offensive line for the past 2 years has really been pushing to that top 10 status. We've had a couple injuries.
Yes.
But remember, for a few years, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has kind of played, I'll push back a little bit, he's played with actually subpar lines a few of these years where these guys weren't considered very good. And what he's been able to do and just – orchestrate, be the playmaker, but then just grow as the years have gone on as a guy who can – he can still be a playmaker, but dissect you in the pocket. I mean, look, 26 points against Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, no touchdown passes, controlled the pace and tempo of the game by orchestrating long, long drives. I mean,
agreed.
This guy
– But you
is,
only
is,
do
is,
that
is
based on having
level.
A running back that can run and a line that can pass, that can block. Because without a running game for that, you can't do that type of – drive. Look, we talked right before the Cincinnati game. We did. You and I talked right before the Cincinnati game, and I said I was in agreement with you. I thought that they would win. Now I hope that they lose, because if the Jets need a playoff spot, I need you guys to
come. Nobody cares about the Jets.
So,
Jets aren't going anywhere regardless.
I'm waiting for you to lose.
Let me ask. I'm actually curious. Who is your number one quarter? I mean, for this year, obviously, it's Newton. But, I mean, is that who you're going with, the top two in the league this year or top two in general?
You know what, guys? I'm sorry to the Jets fans. As great as Newton's been playing, I look at the one guy, and I have to say who the number one guy is. And it's I hate to say it because I'm still a fan. It's Tom Brady.
It's Brady.
No, you don't have to be sorry about that.
I'm a Steeler guy. I hate it, and I know the Jet guy doesn't want to hear that, but. I know what Cam has done, and Cam's year has been sensational. But when it comes to who I'm saying my top guy is, you got to give it to the guy who keeps performing and has got the four rings. I mean, how can I not?
I agree with that.
I got to respect him. I got to. I hate to say it.
You never have to apologize for saying Tom Brady is good to a Jets fan. Then you have to apologize.
I don't like him. I don't like Tom Brady.
Every
Jets
fan knows how good Tom Brady is. And we are more than willing to say how good he is because we hate his guts. But we respect good play. And he is a tremendous quarterback. Seth knows I respect Tom. I respect the heck out of Tom Brady. He is a tremendous quarterback.
Okay.
I would put Ben number three this year behind both Brady and Newton. Over the last 5 years, I think Roethlisberger is better than Newton. I think he has a very hard time if you're going 5 years, I think he has a very hard time with Breeze and Rodgers over the 5 year period. But you know what? You have an argument either way.
I don't really have an issue with this argument. I mean, the reality to me, I mean, look, I make the argument, I've made this argument with Sean before. I think Brady's the best quarterback of all time. I do. Because he's never had, except for Moss and Welker for a year or two span. He's never had great wideouts. He's never had a great running backs. He's never had a great – he's had a good but never a great offensive line. You know, he's had great tight ends in Gronkowski and Hernandez. And his defense has been good, not great. I have no issue with the argument. Roethlisberger top three, I don't have a problem with it. I don't know if I agree with it over the last 5 years. I mean, Roethlisberger is sensational. I would probably – he would be in my top five. I don't know where – You can argue back. That's fine.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
The last 5 years, I think it's Brady, Rodgers, or 1-2. And then you have some confluence of of probably Breeze, Roethlisberger, and Manning, because the last 2 years, you know, the last year, this year has certainly not been great. He missed a year. I think those are, I think that's a consensus top four or five. I don't really know who else could come into that argument.
Right.
I can't see Romo coming in there. I can't see Manning or Rivers coming in there.
God,
no,
please
I just don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we're not even, like, mentioning Tony Romo in the same breath as those guys.
No.
Oh, my God.
You got a Giants fan on the other line. You can't mention a Dallas quarterback that's any good. Come on now.
I can believe me. It's easier to put up with a Dallas quarterback than a Redskin quarterback or an Eagle quarterback. Because Dallas has won one playoff game in 20 years. What do I care?
Right.
I know. I'm just glad you guys aren't stumping for that team in Dallas because they're so irrelevant now. They don't win anything, and all
they're
people do is hype
nine.
Them up. It gets nauseating.
They're 4-9.
When they play the Steelers, I stump for Dallas. But other than that, I'm good.
Oh, hey, you know what? Fair enough. When it comes to the fandom, fair enough. I can get with that. The thing I will say, too, about Pittsburgh is, and I agree, the running back has been, Le'Veon Bell goes down. I don't see why certain teams didn't try to pick up D'Angelo Williams. I mean, the guy has been a professional. He's always ran the football well.
He didn't want to go
nice
anywhere else.
To a lot of
teams. You have to listen to him. He didn't want to go anywhere else. He wanted
He wanted a chance to win a Super Bowl. But I will say, in the past 2 weeks, they've actually thrown the ball more to set up the run. So it's been
on
Ben's shoulders, and he's delivered. I want to talk a little bit about the defense, too. Look, I'm a realist. I know the bugaboo for the Pittsburgh defense is the pass defense. It is so hit and miss.
It is not.
But one
good
thing I do like, it's just all over the place.
Until they throw a tissue here.
Yes. When you look at that second half, though, the one thing they did do adjust is they said, look, if we're going to get beat anyway, let's press a little bit and at least make these guys have to compete. And you know what? It worked because they do have one corner, William Gay, that does come to play every week. He's not great. Well, he's solid, and he will make you pay, and he has. He has tied Rod Woodson for the number of interception returns for touchdowns for Pittsburgh. That's amazing to me that you would mention Willie Gay and Rod Woodson in anything.
We appreciate the call. Enjoy your Knicks game. I'm not sure how that's enjoyable, but enjoy the Knicks game anyway. And hopefully we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when the playoffs start.
Yes, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks. Yes.
Have a good one.
So, again, enjoying a Knicks game. I just have to think about that because I haven't enjoyed the Knicks game in at least 4 years.
Let me ask you something. How difficult is it for you right now to enjoy a Syracuse game, considering what the woodshed that St. John's took them to last week?
You know what, though? I still enjoy the game. I do. Look, I went to the St. John's game. It was one of the worst played basketball games I've ever seen from a Syracuse standpoint. But I will take this to task for anybody. If your opponent hits 53% from three, you're going to win. Anytime. Any team. It could be Canisius. It could be what's the Ohio State, the Mountain, the Lost Sisters.
You want to try that one? You want to try that one in English, buddy?
I don't know the name. What did Jim Tressel say? Jim Trussell said Boise State could be beaten by the blank of your sisters or something like that. Remember
the
when they were
the
going?
Sisters of the Poor. Well, actually, the Sisters of the Poor beat St. John's this week.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Of the Poor. Wait, but here's the thing. The Sisters of the Poor, who's the number one team in the nation now? I don't know college basketball as well as you do. Who's number one in the nation right now?
Michigan State.
Okay. If the Sisters of the Poor played Michigan State, shot 53s and hit 53% of them, they likely win. No matter what, they likely win. So I don't have a problem with St. John's beating Syracuse. I would have preferred it not happen. But at the end of the day, we'll be fine. It's not all that hard to watch a game. And it's a basketball game. Watching an NBA basketball game where these guys are being paid $15, $18, $22 million to play like crap, yeah, that's where I have a problem.
Well, I don't know. You know, take a look at the last 7 days. St. John's beat Syracuse by 12.
Oh, don't do this.
St. John's loses.
I know where this is going. Thank you, Mr.
Saint
Peter
John's,
King. Don't even
Saint
do
John's,
this.
No, I'm not going to do the associative property of college basketball. But it's kind of hard to fathom that a team lose by could beat Syracuse by 12, then lose to Incarnate Word. Now, that may not be Sisters of the Poor, but it's really not that far of a stretch. By 22 at home. And then they lost to NJIT by 9 at home.
So
what
does
rough
that say
week?
Less about Syracuse or less about St. John's?
I think both.
St. John's had a bad – Syracuse had a bad day. St. John's had a bad day to a Division VI AA team.
That could have been televised on the Ocho. Yeah.
Yeah, Cotton needs new shorts. Anyway.
But on the bright side, you play. On the bright side, you play Montana State tomorrow, so you should be okay.
There we go. Don't call it a comeback. We've been doing it for years. But the fact is,
we actually have been doing this for years.
We have. Now we have. But the NFL. Look, the NFL. We got off track a little bit. Well, on track or off track, depending on who you ask. You got to give it up to AJ McCarron yesterday. You know what? A win is a win, right? Not great statistics. And he didn't really play a great team in San Francisco, but he got what he needed done. I mean, yesterday was a good game for the great players, such as Cam Newton and for Ben Roethlisberger. And it was equally as a good game for the mediocre, I need to push through this, such as like Zach Mettenberger, who came in for Marcus Mariota with 20 for 28. Then you have A.J. McCarron doing well, Ryan Fitzpatrick on Thursday doing, I mean, not the great quarterbacks, but the game manager type guys. And they all played pretty well. And the quarterback play to me has improved, unless you're in St. Louis.
Wow. And it does seem like St. Louis is going to be there for a few more years. Yeah, St. Louis probably has the worst quarterback situation in the league. And luckily there are three or four pretty high prospects that they will take. You know, that they will go to because they have no choice. They have to take a quarterback.
Well, the best part about that is that the other teams in the league, the worst teams in the league, don't need a quarterback anymore. I mean, that certainly helps. I mean, you look at the worst teams in the league, right? You have the Titans. They obviously don't need one. You got Tampa Bay. They obviously don't need one. I mean, if you're going down the list, there are not many teams. The Raiders, they don't need one, and they're not even one of the worst teams. And then you got San Diego, they don't need one. Dallas, they don't need one. So you're looking at the teams that maybe are 5 and 6 in the draft that are the ones that need the quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, the question you're going to look at is,
sorry?
You know, Tony Romo's 36 years old.
Sure,
maybe something to look into. The Niners probably need a quarterback. And the Cleveland Browns would probably need a quarterback.
Yep.
And they're going to be two teams above the Rams in regards to draft status.
Well,
and
if Cleveland needs a quarterback, are they trading Manziel? If they trade Manziel, Jerry Jones on line one, and then Dallas doesn't need a quarterback anymore.
Well, there you go. But, I mean, did you hear that Manziel, speaking of, had an okay game, but – he's requested that the Cleveland management not fire Mike, the head coach, Patine, and keep all the players this year. Isn't that nice?
All the players or all the coaches?
Both. He's asked them to retain everyone so there's some sense of continuity going into training camp. Now, I understand this in theory.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure he's the right guy to be making these comments.
No, because that's a mature statement. And there's nothing that has come out of that man's mouth that's been mature in the last 24 months. So you kind of have to ask that question. Let me ask you this. How much is Tyrann Mathieu's injury, the Honey Badger, going to affect the Cardinals? And do you think we were talking about this before we got our guy on, about the Steelers being one of the top teams in the NFL history, if Carolina wins. You heard my argument. You heard his argument. Assuming they go through that, and let's say they meet the Patriots in the Super Bowl, do they have enough quality wins?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't. You know, if they beat, look, to beat Seattle, Arizona, and New England would be one hell of a triumph. You know, there's certainly no discussion point about that. But I find it so difficult to imagine a team where they going into the year, they had rated the worst wideouts in the NFL. A mediocre running game.
Hold on a second. But in 1990, right? Let's go 1986, and then 1990.
Okay.
Could you make the case that the Giants had the worst wideouts in the NFL?
I don't know. They were not great wideouts. They had a great tight end, similar to Carolina. But also, again, the 90 team isn't a fair comparison because the 90 team, nobody thinks the 90 team is one of the greatest teams of all time.
Okay, so let's go to the 86 team.
The 86 team, they were mediocre. They were middle of the road. But
I'll go even further. 1985 Bears.
Right? The Bears had the greatest
their number one
wideout. Probably Willie Gault.
Right. Who really was a back then version, since he was a track star and not a great wide receiver, just could run very fast, Ted Ginn.
Interesting.
So where's your other wideout? I don't even remember who the tight end was on that team.
I want to say Emory Moorhead, but
okay,
I could be
which
wrong.
I think goes to my point even more.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they had
I
a great defense,
just,
and they had a great running game, and they had a competent quarterback. But I would say that Cam Newton's by far a better quarterback than Jim McMahon ever was. So
but
is that
I
not a better passing game than the 85 Bears, which is one of the top teams in NFL history?
Yes, but the Bears also had debatably the best defense of all time. The Bears also had a running game based on one of the all-time greats of all time, although admittedly a little bit past his prime.
I want to see the stats between Walter Payton that year and Jonathan Stewart this year. I bet you they match up. I bet you they do.
They match.
So, do you know that the Carolina Panthers have ran for 100 yards up until yesterday for 24 straight games?
Well, I'm pretty sure they ran for 100 yards yesterday.
Okay, then
I would think
25 straight games. I guess the point is he may not be Walter Payton because how many people are, and they may not have the refrigerator because how many people do. But offensively, that team is better than the Bears.
Oh, yeah. Nobody has ever said
they're worse than the Bears. But if you take the combined effort, who are the best teams in NFL history? I mean, I guess that's a better question for me.
That's a research question. That's not
all right. So we'll talk about it next week. Let's make that.
Yeah.
With the year in review, let's talk about that as the question of the year, because I think that is a good question that we can both take some time and think about, and we'll come back to you next week if Carolina wins. Because if they don't win, I think this all goes for naught.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I agree. So, trying to think. So, we got about 15 minutes left. And I'm actually reading, and this I'm playing on ESPN right now as I do from time to time while we're hosting the shows. I'm looking at Kobe Bryant's list of the top five players he has faced in his career. Which of these
players?
All right,
let me try and guess these. In his career, I'm thinking Tim Duncan's got to be on there somewhere.
Nope.
Michael Jordan?
Yes.
One would hope. Stephen Curry?
No.
Are they all shooting guards?
Only two of them.
Okay, then I'm not going to get it. Jimmy Butler?
You think Jimmy Butler is one of the five best players he's ever played against, he's ever faced?
I think defensively he might very well be.
Best players he has faced.
All right, give me the five. Let's hear.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay. Yes, he kind of goes in there.
Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
LeBron James.
Yep.
And my favorite basketball player of all time?
Mitch Richmond.
No, Richmond's not my favorite. Clyde Drexler.
Oh.
Didn't see Drexler coming into that one.
So five Hall of Famers. So where's the problems with this? Because I don't see many.
I'm actually just surprised that Drexler is in that list. When you think of the pantheon of truly great, you know, we discuss this all the time, and Drexler, Dr. J, and Mitch Richmond are my three favorite players of all time. I don't really have Drexler along with those other four teams. I just find it surprising.
Well, I mean, Drexler was I'm surprised Scottie Pippen's not in there. But then again, Kobe came in 20 years ago, so 96.
Pippen was there. That was the beginning of their second three-year run.
Yeah. I think it's more important as to who's not there.
Shaquille?
Yeah. But Duncan's not there either.
I would take Duncan over Shaquille. But, again, that's a discussion for another day.
Well, we have that discussion every time we talk about the top five all time. So it's not like that's another day. That's like every day on the show. But we're always comparing on the show to historical precedents, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is definitely a thing.
It makes life more interesting. If all we talked about was everything going on currently, we wouldn't really... Who? Never heard of him.
Right, exactly. If all we talked about the man who shall not be named, we would kind of be bored. So, 5 minutes left in the show, give or take. So
we got like
it's Christmas.
We got like twelve minutes left in the show.
Phone's wrong. Not the phone. Not my phone. The phone at my office. Oh well, we got 12 minutes left. So screw that. We'll keep going. Because that's what we do.
Right. Yeah. Well, today's kind of an NFL show. It seems. We're going to run through the gambit a little bit. I'm sorry. We're off today. Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Christmas is coming, right? So before, let's not run through the games, because I think we go through that every day. If you had to give three gifts coming from the Jews, of course, three gifts for Christmas to any teams in the major leagues, who would they be and what would the gift be? This is a great question.
I got to think about it a second.
Well, I can go first with at least my first one.
Okay.
And, then give you a little bit of time to think. I would give the Mets a power hitter. Somebody that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Because I really think, and not a Jonas Cespedes, I mean, not a streaky hitter. I mean, I would give them a legitimate hitter or somebody like that, but not give up the first-round pick to go get him. Or Chris Davis. Because the Mets with a legitimate power hitter would not be behind the Cubs. I would give them Chris Bryant if I could. That would be my guy. But that's obviously not happening. But that would be my number one Christmas present to the New York Mets.
Okay. This is not to a team that I root for, but I think this is relevant. I would give the Oakland Raiders a decent stadium in Oakland.
Yes.
Bash on the Cowboys and people bash on the Raiders. The NFL is better when both are relevant.
Yep.
Dallas has been peripherally relevant for years. Oakland hasn't been relevant since the Rich Gannon run in 2003, 2004, whatever it was. They do not belong in Los Angeles. It's a damn shame. If this was going to be your 5 minute, it's a damn shame that it looks like the Chargers are going to be there after 55 years in San Diego.
Yep.
Los Angeles doesn't seem to, Los Angeles doesn't seem to really want a team. They don't really care. Oakland lives and dies that team. You know, we've seen, Sean and I on our road trip last year saw Oakland Coliseum. It is hideous. We saw it for a baseball game, but it is a hideous place to watch a game in a hideous area. Mark Davis may not have the money. I don't, you know, nobody really knows what's going on between the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers. But I don't care as much if the Rams go to L.A. I'd like to see San Diego stay in San Diego, but that wouldn't kill me. The Raiders belong in Oakland.
I agree. On that note, I would give the Rams a new owner. No joke. That team is basically, they show up, their fans show up, they own the team, as in, like, they own that's their team. They are good fans, the same way the Raiders are. And yet, all their owner wants to do, instead of building a new stadium in St. Louis, which has been offered to him, is to move them to L.A. Now, there was a story that maybe there would be a little swap going on. Maybe Dean Spanos trades the Chargers for the Rams, and then the Chargers do move up to L.A. Be fine with me? I mean, speaking from not a fan base of that. But they really do need another owner, because the Krenkes, and Krenke, I'm not sure is their name. It's K-R-O-E-N-K-E. I just call them Krenke. But, because they're cranky.
Like Christmas with the
they
Krenke.
Want, yeah, Christmas with the Krenke. They need Christmas without a Krenke. Okay, you're up.
I would like to give hope to the basketball teams located within a 10-mile radius of where I'm sitting right now.
So would I.
The Knicks, the
so
Nets, and
the guy
and
who was
John.
On the phone earlier.
Now, yes, Porzingis is the new whatever. He's the new Nowitzki. He's the new Durant. He's the new this. He's the new that. He's a 19-year-old kid. The pressure, he's not ready for that. The team is going nowhere. And the only team with less of a future right now is a team 3 miles down the road in the Barclays Center, who have no future, no picks, and no hope. The only other team that fits this profile, going down to the college, is the team we previously mentioned that lost to NJIT and the College of the Incarnate Word, when your best player is actually your coach.
Yep.
That is a problem.
Oh, their coaching staff could outshoot their starting lineup, because Mark Jackson is on that coaching staff too.
There you go.
Or Mitch Richmond is, one of the two. I think it's Richmond.
Mitch Richmond is, I believe, actually. Okay,
yeah.
You're up.
Okay, so for my last one, this is a little close to home. I would like the Islanders to have a stadium where you could see from every seat. Because we had one, and then we don't. And I say we as the collective, because I will not go to the Barclays Center. I have a very hard time going to the Barclays Center. We all know, those that listen understand where my memories lie there in Nassau Coliseum. But the fact is, if you can't see, what's the point in going? And this is a team that is primed for a Stanley Cup winner really, really soon. And it's a shame that half the stadium can't see the goal line.
My last one
three.
goes a little bit further south.
It can't be Maryland winning a national championship.
It's not Maryland winning
a
national championship.
Not
Maryland
great.
Winning a national championship. That, I believe, will happen. It is.
Oh, wow. Confident. He still hasn't booked the hotel room, ladies and gentlemen.
I should book the hotel room.
Yeah, you should. Okay, go on.
It is now, as many of you know, I lived in D.C. for 10 years. My two most hated sports teams that are not college related are the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins. I would wish, because my friends who are Skins fans, and there are a lot of them, for a new owner. New owner. I prefer them get rid of the Redskin name, but just get rid of Dan Snyder. I don't think anyone has a positive word to say about him, and has over the last 15 years. You know, yes, you are having a nice season. You're 7-7. Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. you're still not that good. You're going to win the division. Hallelujah. Congrats. You may win a game in the playoffs if you're lucky. I can't see it, but you will become the biggest loser in the NFL, and it's not close. You are a running joke, and I don't root for you, but I have a lot of friends who do, and they deserve some pity. So my hope is that at some point you get the new owner that you deserve, and you can go back to, instead of being 4-12, go back to the mediocrity of being 7-9.
And re-sign Kirk Cousins for 12 years.
There you go.
So
it's like the Rick
now
like the Rick Pietro.
Yeah. Now, thanks. Good on stuff. And now we have 5 minutes left. So
you have to do your third pick.
No, I did my third one. I went first.
Oh, that's right. The Islanders,
the Mets, the Rams, and the Islanders.
There you go.
So,
okay, so we got 3 minutes. Go.
3 minutes to go. So, cool thing by LeBron James, what he did this past week, or 2 weeks ago. Look, I've been a little slow. In seeing that a cancer survivor was being honored in Boston Garden during a timeout, he went out of his way to go up to this kid, 16 years old, shower him with gifts, help him out, do whatever he could to make his life feel better. Sometimes we ridicule these athletes because they don't do that. Well, you know, they're just humans too. Every once in a while we get these feel-good stories. And you know what? LeBron does a lot of this. We probably don't hear half of it, but he does a lot of it. And kudos to the king, because sometimes it's good to be the king.
Looks like Justin Blackman's in trouble again.
Uh-huh.
DUI number 3.
Uh-huh.
Alcohol issue number 4.
Uh-huh.
We've seen this movie before. 5 years ago, Justin Blackman was the best receiver in the country on a team that, in my mind, belonged in the national title game, an argument I will make to the day I die with Oklahoma State. He is now unemployed, will probably never be allowed to play football again, and seems to just continuously blame everybody else. Everything is always somebody else's fault. And it's a shame because he's a phenomenal talent. But at the end of the day, if you're a phenomenal talent and a 10-cent head, doesn't matter. OBJ, words to live off of. Think about that in the offseason. All right, next week's our year in review. It should be fun. For Sean Palmer, this is Seth Kamens, the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show for BagSportsPage.com on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
See y'all. Merry Christmas.